Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to see you. So good to have those of you joining us online today, whatever place or space you may be in. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online family tonight? Also, I want to let you know, if you're joining us from home, that at the end of the service today, we're going to be having communion together. So you may want to grab some juice and a cracker, bread, or water, whatever you want to do, and you can join us. Get ready to join us at the end of the service today for communion. So I want to open tonight with a question. I wonder if at any time, at any moment in your life, you've ever asked yourself this question: what was I thinking? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, if you ask that question, what was I thinking? Okay, look, if you're online right now, just put WWIT in the chat, WWIT. All right, hands again. What was I thinking? Come on, let me see your hands. What was I thinking? Yeah, if your hand's not up, you're a big fat liar. Because every one of us has asked that question multiple times. Drinking that cafecito at 11 p.m., what was I thinking? The email you wrote and you click send, what was I thinking? The video that you posted on social media, what was I thinking? Believing the Dolphins would make it to the postseason, what was I thinking? When I told my wife that she could get not one, not two, but three kittens, what was I thinking? I mean, you know you're smarter than that, but you did it anyway. This weekend, we are in part 5 of a series that we're calling Goals. What we said in the series is this: that God has goals for us. God has goals for your life. That the Bible says it this way, that God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. In other words, I know the goals I have for you, says the Lord. And God says they're good plans, they're good goals. And so, because here's what God wants for you. God doesn't want you just to survive. God wants you to thrive. We've been talking about that in this series. And so we're looking at some different areas of our lives, of how when we partner with God, the changes that could happen in our life, the positive changes that can happen in our life. So we've talked about how to partner with God and set some relational goals. We talked about setting some physical goals. We talked about setting some spiritual goals. And today, I want to talk about how to set some mental goals, how to get healthy mentally. And I want to specifically talk about today the power of the mind, this incredible mind God gave us, 3 pounds of gray mush. But it's incredible, the power of the mind, that when I invite God's presence and power into my mental health, it can absolutely change the course and direction of my life. Now, I realize that in this season that mental health is a real struggle for a lot of us. Look, I get it, with the pandemic, society being so divided, the pressures of just living life. I mean, you might be here or joining us online right now, and you might be in the midst of a very real struggle. Listen, wherever you're at tonight, whether you're doing okay or whether you're just like simply trying to hold it all together, I want you to know this, that God sees you. He sees you. He loves you, and he wants you. God wants you to be mentally healthy. And I believe that we're going to be talking about today, I believe it's going to be helpful. No matter where we may find ourselves on the mental health spectrum, I believe tonight is going to be powerful. So here's what I'd love to ask you to do. I'd love to ask you to locate some message notes. Now, our message notes are all virtual. They're found in our Miami Vineyard app. If you haven't downloaded the app, you just go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard. You can find the app. Or if you're in the room today, just scan this QR code that you have in a seat back in front of you right here. Scan the QR code. The app come up just like that. Download the app. And you can click on weekends, just tap weekends, and you can tap message notes. But did you know that this book, the Bible, has so much to say about mental health? So many people are surprised that what this book has to say regarding our minds and staying healthy mentally. And so it has so much to say about our thoughts and our minds. And look, I'm excited about tonight's message because I believe that the message today can breathe some life and some hope in our lives with this whole area. But let me begin with why. I mean, why even talk about this? Why even care about this? Because these minds are so, what God has placed in these bodies, these minds are so incredible. So let me give you three reasons why I should think about managing my mind. If you're taking notes today, here you go. Here's the first reason. Because my thoughts control my life. I mean, we don't often think about it, but this mind controls so much of our lives. Look what the Bible says. It says this verse, I love this verse. Be careful how you think. Right? The Bible says, be careful how you think. He says, con mucho cuidado. Be careful how you think. Look what it says. Your life is, what's it say? Your life is what? Shaped. Your life, my life, is shaped by our thoughts. But we have been watching this play out the past couple of years. Vaccine or no vaccine? Your answer to that decision is going to be based upon the way you think. How we treat another human being, especially another human being of a different race or different ethnicity. How we treat another person is shaped by our thoughts, how we think, who we marry one day, if we marry one day, do we have kids one day, when should the kids leave home? Hopefully before they're 30. But all those thoughts, all those actions start right here. All the actions start right here. It's the power of the mind. The power of this brain is unbelievable. So why must I manage my mind? Because my thoughts control my life. Here's the second quick reason why I should manage my mind. Because the mind is a war zone. We win or lose the battle right here. The mind is a war zone. All these thoughts, all these things. By the way, do you know how many thoughts the average person has each day? The average person has 100,000 thoughts every day. 100,000 thoughts. So do you think the thoughts, the majority of the thoughts we have, do you think they're positive or negative? They are negative. What percentage of our thoughts each day do you think are negative versus positive? How many people think? 50%, 60%? 70% of our thoughts each day are negative, meaning only 30% are positive. So 70% of the thoughts you have every day about yourself, about others, about God, about that person sitting next to you, about the person watching at home with you, 70%. Thoughts about Miami drivers? No, that's 100%. So, folks, it's a battle to do the right thing. It's a war zone. The Bible says it this way: I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else deep within me that is what? That is at what? At war with my mind. We can all identify with that. We all know that. We all know the struggle is real. We all know that. I know I should do this, but I want to do that. I know I should study, but this new show on Netflix. I know I should pray, but somebody just commented on my post. I know I should eat better, but that flan is calling my name. See, there's a constant battle in our mind. So because the mind is, my mind is a war zone. And here's the third reason I should manage my mind, because it's the key to wellness. It's the key to wellness. I said it earlier at the opening of this message that God wants you not just to survive, but to thrive. He does. He wants you to thrive. And so, but if I'm going to thrive, it begins right here. Right here. 3 pounds of gray mush. Right here. The battle is won or lost in our minds. Look what the Bible says. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is what? There is life and peace. Wow. You know another word for life and peace is wellness. There's wellness. So what I want to do today, as we've done for this whole series so far, is I want to give you some simple goals, some simple choices that we can make in our lives that'll make a huge difference down the road. Huge difference. So I'm going to give you, tonight, I want to give you three simple choices. I'm not saying they're easy. Three choices we can do, three things we can do. So here's the first one. Three daily choices for a healthy mind. Here's number one. I must feed my mind with Cheetos. Sorry. I must feed my mind with truth. With truth. You know, I spent some time this past week just doing some research on this mind, this 3 pounds of gray mush. That's what they say. The average mind is 3 pounds. The average brain, 3 pounds of gray mush or matter. The power of what happens up here is just mind-blowing. Here's one. You realize a person's brain continues to physically develop until they're 25. That explains a whole lot of stuff you did before you're 25. That explains a whole lot. Our brains developed till we're 25. So all of you that are less than 25, or if you want an excuse for what you did when you were younger than 25, just say, I'm sorry, my brain wasn't fully developed yet. Okay, you got a great excuse. Decision-making, like all kinds of stuff, just a couple facts. Decision-making. Who do you think takes longer to make decisions, men or women? All right, let's take a little poll. How many of you think men take longer to make decisions? How many think women take longer to make decisions? All right, the second one would be correct. Women take longer to make decisions. But, when they make a decision, they're much more likely to stick with that decision. Unlike guys who make it quickly, but they're going to change your minds. Women have gotten a bad rap. They're the ones that women always change their mind. That's a bad rap. It's not true according to this study. Go girls. But here's something I came across just recently that just really went poof. I saw a documentary recently, a couple months ago. And it had to do with a family in Southern California their names are the Turpin family. And this family was mom, dad, 13 kids. And they lived in a house, you know, suburban Southern California. And on the outside, like this, it looked like a typical normal house and on a normal family, except on the inside of that house. Now, I don't know why parents would have kids and then do this to their kids, but from the moment those kids were born, the parents began telling those kids lies. Just lies. Lies about the outside world, that the outside world is dangerous and poisonous and you don't want anything to do with the outside world. The parents would, from time to time, chain the kids to their beds. They'd make them go for days without food. The kids couldn't speak unless they were spoken to. The kids ended up, instead of walking, they ended up skipping because they thought that was the thing to do. Now, the kids, they thought that what was happening in their home was normal because they didn't know anything else. But really what it was a prison. Now fortunately, one of the kids escaped and said, this can't be normal. One of the kids escaped. The other one was too terrified to escape. One of them escaped, called 911, the police came in, and the parents now in jail. But it was an incredible story that just... there was so much more to it, but just for the shortened version, of the power of the mind. Now, I get it. Look, I get it. This is an extreme story. I get it. Extreme story. But it points to what we feed these minds makes all the difference in the world. And as I said, obviously that's an extreme story. But here's a question I want to ask you. Is there a prison someone has talked you into? Is there a prison you've talked yourself into? Is there some area in your life where you find yourself behind bars because it's a lie you believe? Maybe you're in debt and you're telling yourself, I'm never going to get out of debt. Maybe your marriage is unraveling and you're telling yourself, it's never going to change. Maybe you've struggled with some sin and you say, it's always going to be this way. Let me drop some truth on you tonight. Look what this says, next verse. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? New person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Here's what this says about you. You don't have to stay the same. You don't have to stay stuck in the past. Through the power of Jesus Christ, you can change. You can. Earlier today, I performed a funeral on this stage, right here, for a friend of mine one of my close friends, one of my best friends. We've been friends for 35 years. This guy was a story of changed life. He had an alcohol addiction that wouldn't end. He didn't think that he could ever get out of that alcohol addiction. But I'm telling you, by the power and the grace of God, he was sober for 31 years of his life. See, we gotta, no matter how many times your mind tells you, never gonna change, never gonna change, I'm never gonna change, never gonna change. You speak the truth to your mind, and you tell yourself what the Bible says about you, that you are a new person. Here's something we've been talking about since the beginning of the year. I said, here's a three words for 2022. Some of you come up, remember, God, say with me, God is able. Let's say it again. God is able. Put in the chat online. God is able. God is able. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or think or dream of. God is able. It's not our power. It's not positive thinking. It's not manifesting, although those are better than the alternatives. Change is possible, but through the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. Change is possible. You guys got to get your hands working tonight. You know, this book has over 7,000 promises in this book, just waiting for us to discover them. 7,000 promises. That's why we give you every week, we give you daily Bible readings. If you got the message notes open, if you go to the bottom of the message notes, you'll see that there's daily Bible readings. If you got the app open, you'll see on the app, every day we give you daily Bible readings. We want to get you into this book, because this book, when you read this book changes the mind. It transforms. The words of God transform the mind. And as we think, there we go. Mind is so important, so important, so important. So three daily choices. Here's the first choice. Maybe this is a goal you want to set this year. I must feed my mind with truth. Here's the second choice. Here's the second choice. Number two, if you don't take the notes, number two says, I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. Because so many times we are prisoners to our own thoughts. It doesn't matter if those thoughts are accurate or true. It doesn't matter. If we believe they are, they affect our life. Even if it's not true, if we believe they are, they affect our life. My wife tells a story that when she was growing up as a kid, she always thought she was uncoordinated because her mom told her whole life, oh, honey, you're just not very coordinated. And my wife grew up her entire life believing that she wasn't very coordinated until she met me. And I'm a big sports guy. And we got married, and one day we got moved in this little tiny duplex here in Dadeland area back in the day. And I said, honey, let's just go out front. Let's just, you know, toss the football back and forth. She said, I don't know how to throw a football. So I showed her how to put her fingers on the laces and the toss of football. It didn't take but two or three throws, and I'm going, dang, girl. You're really good. And she looked at me, she said, that's the first time in my life anybody has ever told me I had any athletic ability. We since stopped playing catch because she throws better than me, and I don't want that to happen, but I'm just playing about the last part, but. Well, what's going on? She believed it to be true. Even if it wasn't, she believed it, and it completely affected her life. So what I got to do is I've got to free my mind from destructive thoughts. Because every day, you've got three enemies dropping thoughts into your mind. You've got three enemies that are dropping destructive thoughts into our minds. You know who those three enemies are? Me, myself, and I. No, I'm just kidding. One of them, the first one though is right. Me. You, me, us. How many times have we said these words? I am my own worst enemy. I am my own worst enemy. It's true. So many times we have our own thoughts. Like 70% of our thoughts are what? Negative. We're our own worst enemy. Science proves it out. Our own thoughts. So first of all is me. That's the first enemy. There's another enemy, a very real enemy. His name is the devil. His name is Satan. He's a very real enemy. And the devil will drop thoughts into your minds. Every day, from the moment you wake up, the enemy, Satan, is dropping thoughts into our minds. Now, he can't force you to do anything. He can't. Listen, he cannot force you to do anything. But he can make suggestions. And he can make them at the times in our life when we are the most vulnerable. He can't make you do anything. But he can make suggestions, powerful suggestions. And from the moment we wake up in the morning, Satan, he starts dropping little seeds. He says, you suck. Nobody likes you. Look at you. Give me one thing you have going for you. Anytime you hear thoughts like that, thoughts of accusing, anytime you feel accused like that, that's coming straight from the devil, because the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren, meaning us. He's the accuser. Anytime you feel accused, that doesn't come from God. That comes from the devil. And when you hear those words from the devil, you tell the devil to go to hell. By the way, that's the only person you can say that to. Just want to clarify. The Bible says this, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is the power of Jesus Christ in us than the devil who's in the world. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever, ever, ever forget that. But anytime you feel accused, that ain't coming from God. That ain't coming from God. That's coming from the devil. That's his big job. He's the accuser. So we got three enemies, right? We've got me, we've got the devil, and we've got the world around us. The world around us is giving us thoughts all the time. And look, I hate to break it to us, but many of the thoughts that we get from the world around us are not always thoughts that are helping us become better followers of Jesus. They're not. So we have to realize that. Now, I'm not saying that all culture is bad. I'm not saying that at all. God calls us to transform culture and be a part of culture. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that we have to be aware and conscious that a lot of things that hit us actually are setting themselves in opposition to what we read in the book. And we just got to be aware of that. So how do we fight the battle? We got the nature within us. We got Satan putting thoughts in here. We got the world around us. Look at this next verse. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I want you to notice a word in there. The word stronghold. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold. I did some extensive research on this week. You ready? Here's a stronghold. A stronghold is anything that has a strong hold on you. Deep theological study on that. But think about it. That's what it is. A stronghold is anything that has what? A strong hold on you. He's talking here specifically in this passage about thoughts, things we believe. That what we believe has a strong hold on us. And if we keep believing it, the stronghold increases. If you give it opportunity to hang out in here, it's going to increase and become stronger. It becomes a strong hold, has a strong hold on you. That's why the verse says, I take captive every thought in my mind, and thoughts that are not of God, I say, get out of here. But science has proven this to be true, that if we keep believing something, whether it's good or bad, if you keep believing something, the mind actually has neural tracks that these neurons run on in the brain. There's like little tracks that they run on, and when it's a positive thing, that's good. You want the tracks, you want the positive tracks, but it also comes with negative tracks too. And when you get negative thoughts and you keep believing them and just keep putting them over and over again, there's little tracks in your brain that these BBs run on. It's very true, proved out by science. For example, here's some negative tracks, some lies we might believe. For example, somebody might say, God didn't really love me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't know I exist. God doesn't have my best interest at heart. Those are all lies. But if we continue to believe them, they become strongholds. Or how about this? I'll never be able to forgive that person. Never. I will never, ever, ever be able to forgive that person. I'm telling you, you believe that? You're right. It becomes a stronghold. You just keep telling yourself that. It becomes a stronghold. I've been doing this pastoring thing now for quite some time. Actually, 29 years. So if you're doing your math, I started when I was 6. Okay, just want to clarify. I have watched these things play out in people's lives. I've watched them. I know people, and so have you, who believe, right, stronghold, believe they're going to contract, one day they're going to contract a major illness. I've watched people live their whole lives believing they're going to get cancer one day. There's no reason for it. It's not like it runs in the family, but they get this idea they're going to contract cancer one day. It really controls their life. Their whole life revolves around the stronghold. Here's another one. I'm going to die at an early age. I have a friend who spent their whole life believing this lie. I'm going to die at an early age. And I've just watched the life play out in front of them. You don't think it affected his life? It affected everything. He didn't take care of his body. He was grossly overweight. Why take care of my body? I'm going to die when I'm 39. He never took time to invest in a career. Why? I'm going to be dead when I'm 39. He's never been in a serious relationship ever. Why? I'll be dead when I'm 39. You can just tease that out to any area of life, and it becomes a stronghold in the mind. A stronghold in the mind. Opening verse we looked at said, your life is what? Shaped by your thoughts. Oof. Is it? Our life is shaped by our thoughts. So what do? We go back to that verse where we just read, and it says, we take captive every thought. Every thought we take captive. Every thought, every thought, every thought we take captive. Every thought. It's like having a palmetto bug in your bathroom, a cockroach in your bathroom. Oh, you were going to go after that thing. Oh, not today, palmetto bug. Oh, are you going to go after that thought? You have a thought in your mind that's unhealthy? Not today, Satan. Not today, mind. Not today. Not today. Not today. You take captive every thought. And we make sure the thoughts we have are healthy thoughts. We make sure the thoughts we have align themselves up in this with this book. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you that sometimes thoughts, you know, they're not as simple as I'm making them out to be tonight. I get it. Thoughts are complicated and complex. I get it. That's why we need to live these lives in community and not in isolation. The Bible never talks about living life alone, Christian life alone. Never. It talks about community. It talks about being with other people. It talks about living life together. So I can help you and you can help me. You can speak into my life and I can speak into your life. Living in community together. That's what the Bible talks about. So this weekend, if you're here in person, you notice when you walked in that there's a bunch of tables in the lobby. Today's what we call Life Group, our small group expo. So this is an opportunity for you for this next season of group life, which happens here starting in February, March, April, May. The next season of group life is for you to have a chance to get into a group. Now, you can stop at one of the tables out there and just say hi to some people. But you can also, on the app right here, right now, on the Miami Vineyard app, you just click on the app, and you open the app, and you see small groups. Just tap on small groups, and right there, right now, on your phone, comes a whole menu of small groups that we are offering coming up over the next term. And you can sign up on the app. Just sign up right here.
I mean, you don't even have to, if you're online with us right now, you don't have to be here in person to sign up for a small group. You can sign up for a small group right here in the app. Anybody can have the app anywhere around the world. You can sign up for a small group. We have groups in person. We have groups online. We have lots of groups, different size groups, shapes groups. We have a basketball group. We have an exercise group. We have Bible study groups. We have men's groups, women's groups, all kinds of groups that might work for you. But I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't live this life alone. Life is too short. Make it count. We need to be, we are better. One of our values at our church, right? We are better. You got it. We are better together. And we are. So what do I do? A couple quick goals, right? Feed my mind with truth. Free my mind from destructive thoughts. And here's the third one. Focus my mind on Jesus. You know what's true? We become what we think about the most. So what do you think about the most? Because I can tell you, whatever you think about the most, it is going to control your life. If you think about making money the most, everything you do is making money. I got to get myself a side hustle, two side hustles, three side hustles. Whatever we think about the most is what controls our life. So I want to invite you today to set this for a goal. How about we say, I'm going to think about Jesus the most. I'm going to reflect on him. I'm going to reflect on that relationship. Because our life is shaped by our thoughts. So today what I want to do is, I want us to take communion together. We talked about this earlier. So, look, if you're joining us online, if you're in the room right now, and Christina, I'll need one of those as well. If you're in the room right now, when you walked in the doors, hopefully you received one of these little cups of juice, purple cups of juice. If you did not get one, just slip a hand up in the air right now. People are coming all over and want to give you one. Thank you. Don't be shy. Take some for tomorrow too. Okay, don't be shy. Put a hand up in the air. They're going to come around. They're going to get you one. Don't be shy. If you're joining us online right now, you're at home. Okay, I invite you. You may want to, it's not too late. Grab some water, grab some juice, grab a cracker, whatever you got. Okay, join us as we take communion together right now. We focus. So let me tell you to use this here for just a second, and then we'll say a few words about this. So first of all, take the clear plastic and pull that one back. Expose that white wafer. And then you can take the purple one and pull that back and expose that. If I can get somebody on keys, that'd be great. So we're going to take this here together in just a second. So Jesus, we believe that you were the most mentally healthy person who ever walked this planet. And Jesus, you knew what it was like to be tempted by Satan. But you never gave in. You never believed a lie. So today we ask for your presence in our lives to fight the battle. Because the battle is real. This battle is real. This battle for our minds is real. But Jesus has the power to breathe into our lives to help us fight this battle. So what we're doing right now is we're just remembering Jesus. That's what communion is. It's remembering Jesus. Remembering Jesus. So on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took a loaf of bread, he broke it. He said, do this, take this, eat this. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take this right now. Let's remember Jesus. After taking the bread, he took a glass of wine. He said, this represents my blood, which is going to be shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. But it was that. But it was so much more than that. He talked about this thing called a new covenant. A new covenant is a whole new way of living. That now, back before Jesus, God just kind of inhabited around people and spaces. But now, when Jesus died and rose again and went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, now the very person of God through the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's a whole new covenant, a whole new way of living. Now the power of God is not just around us, it's in us. That's what he's talking about. That's why we can live life and believe that it can be different, because the power of God is living within us. Let's take this together. Let's remember Jesus. If I can ask you, you can maybe just pray with me for just another minute. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. God, we say to you that we need you. God, we give ourselves to you. Today, we give our minds to you. Say, have your way, God, in our minds. We dedicate, God, ourselves to you. And look, if there's never been a moment in your life where you have dedicated yourself to Jesus, then why not right here, right now, today, whether you're in the room or joining me online, just follow me in this simple prayer, just inside, say, Jesus, tonight I dedicate myself to you. I commit my life to you. I want to be everything you want me to be. I need your power and your presence in my life. Jesus, tonight, I dedicate myself to you. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.